Amen. God bless you. Amen. Good morning, church. Amen. You're welcome back again, God's presence. Amen. Before we sing this song, I'll just read a psalm here, if you don't mind, as is my custom, if you don't mind. Psalm 139. Amen. Psalm 139. You can be seated, if you don't mind. Amen. Say to the chief musician, a psalm of David. Psalm 139. Amen. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is none a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is I cannot attain it. Unto it, whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be the light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are but alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Amen. Let us sing this song, When He Reached Down His Hand for Me. The psalmist was reflecting on the Lord in that psalm. Amen. And I believe we can reflect on this song. Amen. What happened to our soul when the Lord reached down his hand for us? Amen. It's a song I love so much. Amen.
Was a spray from the heavenly way. I was wretched and blind as could be. But my Savior in love gave me peace from above when He reached down His hand for me. Oh, when He reached down His hands for me. Oh, when He reached down His hands for me. Oh, I was lost and undone. I was without God, nor His Son. When He reached down His hands, I was there in despair, I was there to despair, when He came to be there. Listen, and He told me that I could be free. Oh, then He lifted my feet, He gave me gladness complete, when He reached down His hands for me. Oh, when He reached down His hands for me. Oh, when He reached down His hands for me. I was lost, I was undone, I was without God. Oh, His hand, when He reached down His hand for me. How my heart does rejoice. As my Lord gave me peace, heaven's joys never cease. Lord, I give all my life unto Thee. Guide my feet, hold my hand, run with Thee. I may stand when he reached down his hands for me. Oh, he reached down his hands for me. Oh, when he reached down his hands for me. Oh, I was lost, I was undone, I was without God, nor his hand, when he reached down his hands for me. How my heart doth rejoice, how my heart doth rejoice, since I made him my choice. From the tempest to him, now I flee. Now I lean on his arm. I'm secure from all harm, since he reached down his hand for me. Oh, when he reached down his hands for me. Oh, when he reached down his hands for me. Oh, I was lost and undone, I was without God, nor his son, when he reached down his hands. Without the music, let's hear the people sing now. Oh, when he reached down his hands for me. Oh, I was lost and undone, I was without God, nor his son, when he reached down his hands for. With the music one more time. When he reached, oh, when he reached down his hands for me. Oh, when he reached down his hands for me. Oh, I was lost and undone, I was without God, nor his son, when he reached down his hands for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Let us expect our brother Joel, amen, to pray for us. But before he sings, comes to pray, let's sing that song, Draw Me Nearer. Nearer, blessed Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. Oh, but I long to ride in the arms of it and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, draw me nearer, Lord, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy cross where thou hast. Oh, draw me nearer, draw me nearer, oh, nearer, blessed Lord, oh, thy precious leading son. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, and by the power of grace. Oh, let my soul look up with a steadfast love, and my will be lost. The next stanza. Oh, a pure delight. Oh, a pure delight of a single love that before thy throne I see. Oh, when I kneel in prayer, and with thee, my Lord, I commune as friend. Draw me nearer, Lord, nearer, blessed Lord, oh, to thy cross, where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, I want to be nearer, Lord, nearer, blessed Lord, oh, to thy precious lead. There are depths of love, amen. Oh, there are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy, there are heights of joy that I cannot, may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, oh, it is my heart's desire, Lord, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy cross, where thou hast died. Oh, draw me nearer, I want to be closer, I want to be nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, oh, thy precious leading time.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen. That was a wonderful prayer. Thank you, sir. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet. Amen.
That is fairer than day. And by faith, we can see the fire. Oh, for the Father with over, hallelujah, to prepare. Oh, in the sweet, oh, by and oh, oh, we shall meet on the beautiful shore. Oh, in the sweet, oh, by and by, oh, we shall meet on the beautiful shore.
Oh, we shall sing on the beautiful shore. Hallelujah! Oh, the melodious songs of the blessed. Oh, and our spirit shall sorrow no more. Hey, not a sigh for the blessed. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, in the sweet by and by. Oh, we shall meet. We shall meet. Hallelujah. In the sweet. Oh, by and by. We shall meet on the beautiful shore. Oh, to a bountiful fire. Hallelujah, we will offer us. Oh, for the glorious, and the blessings that hallow. Oh, in the sweet, oh, in the sweet, oh, by and by we shall meet on the beauty. Oh, in the sweet, oh, in the sweet by and by. Oh, we shall meet on the beautiful shore. Amen. You don't sound like it. I don't know why, but you don't sound like it. You don't sound like you want to be in the beautiful shore that I'm talking about. Some of you are just like this. Amen. We're here to worship, amen. This is just the first service. So I'm expecting more. Amen. Amen. For the young ones, and you guys are younger. Huh? All right, so let's sing that song again and then sing it like you mean it. Sing it like you are seeing yourself there. Amen. Visualize it. Amen. In the sweet by and by. Oh, we shall meet on the... Sounds like it. Hallelujah. Oh, in the sweet, oh, by and by. Hallelujah. We shall meet on the beauty. By and by, hallelujah, by and by. Oh, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we overcome. We will understand it better by it. We are often tossed. We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies, holy tempest, or succeed a bright sunshine. In the land of perfect day, when the mist over and by, over. When the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we overcome. We will understand it better. We are often destitute of the things that life demands. Want of food, want of shelter, testing. And barren land, we are trusting in the Lord and according to His. Hallelujah! 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 Glory be to God! Hallelujah! Oh, by and by, oh, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, I will tell the story of how I overcome. I will understand it. Fires dark on every end, and we cannot understand all the way that God will lead us to the blessed promised land. And He guides us with His eyes, and we follow till we die. We will understand. Oh, by and by, oh, when morning comes when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we overcome. We will understand it. Temptations, amen. Oh, temptations, hidden snares often take us on our way, and our hearts are made to flee from any thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better. Oh, by and by, oh, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, I will tell the story of how we overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Now that sounds lovely. Amen. Amen. Come and dine, the Master Colette. Come and dine. Sing it a little bit softly. Amen. As we turn the order of the service. Amen. Mighty choosing people, come and dine. Oh, it is manna he doth feed, and supplies our every need. Oh, this sweet to trust in Jesus. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table. Oh, the time he will feed the multitude, turn the water into wine. To the hungry call it now, come and dine. The disciples came to learn, thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master called to them, come and dine. Oh, there they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thirsty. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He will feed the multitude, turn the water into wine. To the hungry, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble thee. Oh, twill be a glorious sight. Other saints in spotless white, and with Jesus we will feast eternally. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus all the time. He will feed the multitude, turn the water into wine. Hungry, call it now. Come and dine. Oh, come and dine. The Master call it. Come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He will feed the multitudes, turn the water into wine. To the hungry, call it now. Come and dine.
Hallelujah. As we expect the preacher for the day, amen. Or the pastor, whoever wants to come first. Let's sing the song. Amen. We'll sing it softly. Amen. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Amen. Yesterday we heard about the response to it. Amen. To be quick to answer. Amen.
For me today, oh my, who will bring to me lost and dying. Who will point them to the narrow way? Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak and I'll be quick to answer thee. Oh, speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Oh, speak and I will answer, Lord, send me. When the call of fire, when the call of fire touch the prophet, making him as new, making him as new can. Oh, when the voice of God said, when the voice of God said, we'll go for us, then he answered, yeah, my send me. I want you to speak, my Lord, speak, my Lord, speak and I'll be quick to answer thee. Won't you speak, my Lord, speak, my Lord, speak and I will answer. The Lord sent me.
Amen. Amen. When the prophet heard the voice, what did he do? He responded. And he said, Master, here am I, send me. Now, when I just look and I see Brother Daniel Mazur there, you know, and how the Lord sends him all around the world now. But there was a day that he used to go to youth meetings just like the rest of you, and he hadn't yet made up his mind to serve the Lord. You know, he had grown up in a good home. His dad was a good believer. Amen. And his mom. And then he heard the voice. And that voice spoke to him. No, he heard the voice from a supernatural place. Amen. And he started to realize that there's something beyond just this life. Now, there's a purpose that I was born to. And he realized the Lord was calling him. What about Brother Cheslin as well? You know, growing up and his dad was a believer and all those, maybe going to church. I don't know what you went through when you were young, brother. Maybe going to youth group, you know, and you try to be a good boy and you try to do things right. But then there comes that specific time, that specific day when you hear the voice of the Lord. It may build up over time. Now the Lord may prepare you and you can feel something happening inside of your soul. And then there comes that specific time. You can remember it well when the Lord came and spoke to you. And you made that eternal decision. Now you made a decision to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow him. And then the Lord transforms your life. And I don't know what Brother Daniel used to do in his youth, or Brother Cheslin. You know, I don't know. Me, I used to run around in the arcades and I used to be around with my friends doing all the mischief we could. But when you hear that voice and respond to the Lord, something starts to transform you. And you get set on a completely different path. And before you are walking towards darkness, walking. But now you start walking in the light. And the Lord starts giving you different friends. And you love those friends that he gives you. You start listening to a different kind of music. And this music, it edifies you. It builds you up. And you start going to different places. You know, spend your time in the house of the Lord. Or you spend your time in prayer. Or going out and telling people about the Lord. Friends, it's the most wonderful thing that can ever happen to a person is when Jesus comes and calls. And that's what we're really desiring for every single one of you that have never heard that call. May this be the season that as our brother Cheslin would come and preach today. You know, we always speak of the voice behind the voice. May the Lord speak behind the voice of our brother to your soul, not to your mind. No, we don't want any mind things here. We want things to the soul, to the heart. And when you hear that voice inside of your heart, why not respond and say, speak, my Lord. And we said on Sunday, it's a changing of the guard. Now these youth meetings are preparing you to take the baton from us. Now we've walked with the Lord for our generation, but now you're the next generation now. We never thought we'd see another generation, but the Lord has seen it fit that maybe you will be the final generation. And the Lord is coming to speak to you and to prepare you and equip you so that you can be the Daniel Mazurs and the Cheslin Downs of the next generation, so that you can be the Brother Faithfuls and the Brother Georges. And what a wonderful thing. And we already see such a potential in our wonderful young people. So many of them love the Lord, they love His Word, and may the Lord richly bless you. So we're so glad to be here today, saints. So glad to greet our brother Daniel Mazur. I was looking back. We've been friends since 2007 when we first met. So it's been a real wonderful time. I've always loved being with brother Daniel. Brother Daniel Mazur is from Czech Republic. He fellowships with brother Jacek. We know brother Jacek. He's been with us and preached for us before. So he fellowships and he ministers in brother Jacek's church. And the Lord has called him to be an evangelist. He travels all over. He was in India just recently. He was then with brother Shelton and the saints in Doha, preaching on the way back. And we're so glad the Lord has led him our way. When we spoke to him at the youth meeting, when we went check, and we said, brother, what about the Lord leading you back to come for youth meetings? He said, brother, I'd really love to come once again. And then he prayed, and the Lord laid it upon his heart. So we're so glad, brother. We do appreciate you being here. May the Lord richly bless you. And then Brother Cheslin is from Cape Town in South Africa. When we were there last year, we were together with him and his dad. And Brother Cheslin, he came across to Dublin many years back. When did you come, bro? Would you? 2012, Brother Cheslin came and he was not too sure of who he was. He wasn't too sure of what he believed when he came. And then the Lord got a hold of his life and the devil made the greatest mistake he could. The devil never stopped him from meeting Brother George. And they teamed up together and they became prayer warriors with Brother Max Jr. and Brother Kingsley and them. And the Lord really got a hold of Brother Cheslin. And he finished up his course, his studies and his things here and his job that he was doing and his whatever you were doing. And the Lord sent him back. And then Brother Cheslin's dad phoned Brother George and said, yeah, man, what did you do to my son? This isn't the same boy that I sent to Dublin. Yeah. So we really thank the Lord for the power of transformation. And now Brother Cheslin, now he's taken the baton and he's running the race, friends. He realized, I'm not just leaving this to my father. I'm not just leaving this to the pastor. Me, I've got my part to play. What am I going to do for my Lord? How am I going to serve him? And he heard the voice crying from the wilderness up in Northern Cape and those kind of areas to get out and do missionary work. And Brother Cheslin doesn't do glamorous work, friends. He goes and they stay in the little servants' rooms and they eat the rough food and they get out there to the places where most people wouldn't even dare to venture to go and reach people for Christ. Paul said, I went to preach where Christ had not been preached. And that's a great, great ministry. You know, some people, we love to stand here and have all the people look at us, but I really respect those kind of ministries. Those are the unsung heroes, friends, that on that day when the crowns are given, you're going to find surprising people there that day. You're going to find great, great rewards and stars and crowns of people that you never expected. So, and then Brother Cheslin, now we're so glad he's come across for a bit of a holiday to Ireland. So we said, no, you're not coming for a holiday. You're coming for the youth camp. So we brought him from his holiday to come and take the service. So, brother, we really want to give thanks to the Lord that you've come. And please take your liberty and let's hand over the service to Brother Cheslin. God bless you, saints.
I greet everyone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Andrew gave an introduction. I can't add on anything to, so we'll just go immediately over to the scripture. You can all turn to the book of Romans chapter 12 and read from verses 1 and verses 2. It's very familiar scripture with all of us. Amen. That's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and verses 2. It says here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's bow heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, any human being can read the word of God, but it takes the Holy Spirit to interpret it to the people's hearts, Lord. And these people are here, Lord, because they are, Lord, coming to you, Lord. They cannot come in to see any individual, but they come in to have an experience with the resurrected Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, you said you will give the people according to their expectation, Lord. You said those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled, Lord. And I believe these are people are here because they have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Pray now, Heavenly Father, that you will come down and minister from heart to heart, from bench to bench, Lord. And every need, Lord, I believe will be supplied according to your riches in mercy and by their faith in your promise. Pray now, Lord, that you undertake further in Jesus' name. Much thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. And we can all take your seats. I just want to speak on a subject, God's power to transform. So we're all familiar with the scripture. And if you actually read it, I just would like to go through it again. It says, and be not conformed to this world. So it shows you, if he's saying you must not be conformed to this world, that means it's got to be another world as well. Amen. So he's saying, don't become and don't partake of the customs of this world. And the reason he's telling you that, because as a born-again Christian, the gospel is reminding you there's a world that you come from. And it's not this world, you see. And then he also says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, now that is the key. Because if you think about it, where do your thoughts come from? Where do your thoughts? Your thoughts don't come from this world. They're expressed in this world, but they don't come from this world. That's why in the book of Corinthians, it says the things we see are temporary, and the things we cannot see are eternal. Yes. So if you're a Christian, you live by the things that you cannot see. And when you live by the things you cannot see, that means you have a resource that cannot be seen, but yet that resource has more power than the things that can be seen. Yes. If you take a look at what he's saying, is this world, right? The world system as we know it, you are given your five senses to contact it, you know, smell, taste, touch, sight, and everything. But they call the world system a closed system. What does that mean? It's like you're going to a dead end. You can't go any further. It has a beginning and it has an end. So this world system has a limited power. But God is saying here that you must be transformed by not the power that's limited by an unlimited power. Because the natural world has limited power. The spiritual world has unlimited power. So when God calls you to live by the Spirit, he's giving you access to unlimited power. You see? He's giving you access not to natural power, but to supernatural power. Because when God talks about transformation, transformation means to change something in appearance, to change the image, to change the structure, to change in condition, but also to change the nature or the character. So that's why you're here at this youth meeting, because you want to transform. You are busy changing your nature. You are busy changing a character of yours. So one thing you notice about your words, right? When you're thinking about your words, nobody else can hear them but yourself. Your thoughts are kept in your head and nobody can. Nobody knows what your thoughts are. Only God knows what your thoughts are. But the funny thing about your thoughts is your thoughts are your words concealed. That's right. Your thoughts are your words that are concealed. And when you speak, your words reveal your thoughts. You see what I'm saying? Everything that you can see that there ever has been and ever will be was once a thought. Yes, it was once a thought. So it shows you how important it is for your mind to be renewed. Because everything starts by your thinking. Everything starts by your thought process. You see, whatever decision you take, it starts by thinking about your decision. Once you thought about the decision, then you start to talk about it. Once you start to talk about it, then you start going to action and it becomes a manifestation. Like they say, your thoughts form your words. Your words form your character. Your character determines your destination. We've been taught that character is not a gift, character is a victory. So therefore, your mind has to be equipped to overcome, because the battlefield is the mind. And if we take a look at the power of decision, that is one of the greatest powers that you are given, is to decide what thoughts you're going to accept and what thoughts you're going to reject. Because of you as a human being, you're both natural and you're both spiritual, right? So everywhere you go, you are in, how do I say, you're in contact with two worlds. Because the spirit world is the world of thought. And the natural world is the world of the flesh, right? So wherever you walk, you're walking in an atmosphere where there are thoughts being placed. And you walk into that atmosphere, and because you're a spiritual being, you can tap into that dimension, and those thoughts will go through your head. A simple example is at school, they're playing music at school. You walk past that music, thought goes into your head. You go on the bus, what happens? The music, whatever, the conversation, the spiritual world, you are in contact with it every day, but you're just not aware of it. You see, you're not aware of it because wherever you go, there's spirits. That's why that world is more real than this world. This world is just a manifestation of that world, you see. That's why God says, come and let you be transformed by the renewing of what? Of the mind. Amen. Now, God's word is a seed, right? And every seed must bring forth of its own kind.
Amen.
So, God's word, Jesus said, my words are spirit, my words are life. And he spoke about his words being seed. So what he does is he plants his words in the hearts of people.
Amen.
Yes, that's why if you notice in the Bible, the word mind and heart is constantly used interchangeably. That's why they say, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Amen.
You see, because your thoughts are directly connected to the heart. What did Jesus say about people that was, you know, one time in the book of St. Mark chapter 7, when the Jews were talking about what you eat, does it defile you, your customs? They said, no, it's not what a man takes in that defiles him, but what comes out of him. He says, in the heart you plan adulteries, fornications, everything gets planned in the heart. So Jesus came to address the root of the problem. You see, they were busy with what you would call traditional religion, which is a form of godliness, but it's no power. Because the power of God is in the word of God. And the word of God can only be mixed with faith. So when the word of God comes, that's the seed, right? And then the Holy Spirit has to come to quicken that seed within you. Once that seed is quickened within you, there will be a manifestation of the works of God. That's exactly what we are here for. We are here because we don't want to conform to where we are, but we want to be transformed by the power of God to be what God wants us to be. Is that not so? You see, God has brought us here with a purpose, right? And if you realize you are some of the most blessed people to be in a place like this with an atmosphere like this. Yeah, I think, I don't know if it was Brother Dan, Pastor Andrew, we were talking about how every day in the city you got to put up with so much things that you don't want to see, you don't want to hear, but everywhere you go, you got to put up with all these unclean spirits because we're living in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. But by the grace of God, God has brought you here so that he can renew your mind and remind you of what you were called for and why you were called. Because clearly it says here, you're not called to be like the rest, you're called to be different. Jesus said you're called to be the salt of the earth. In the one message, it's called influence. The prophet says, light shines best in the darkness. You see what I'm saying? So your testimony is going to shine best where there is the most darkness. And the perfect example of a testimony that stands out everywhere you go is the way a sister dresses. Because that dress is reflecting a character.
Amen.
You see, when you dress a certain way and they see you dressed that way, they thinking, what kind of religious persuasion do you have? Because you're not dressing like the world, you're not conforming to the world, but you've been transformed by the renewing of your mind that you can present what's acceptable to God.
Amen.
Do you know, by the way you are dressing, you're actually offering a sacrifice to God that's acceptable.
Yes.
That's right. It sounds maybe like something small, but just the way you dress, presenting yourself in modest apparel, as the Bible says, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yes.
By that, you're already offering something acceptable to God.
Amen.
And the strange thing about it is, you're doing it without saying a word.
Amen.
Do you know, you as a sister, you don't have to say any words to testify about the grace of God in your life. Just your conduct, your dress, and your action will testify you're not like the rest of the people in the world. They will see God in you by the simplicity of the way you dress, the way you conduct yourself. They will see this person is not a person from this world. You see what I'm saying? Because you must remember, all of us are sitting here, we are seed of Abraham. Am I right? And seed of Abraham, you must remember, Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. That's what Abraham was looking for. And he could not look for that city if he didn't come from that city. You see what I'm saying? So because you came from a place, you have to go look for that place. And what God does is he reminds you of the place you came from. So when you come here and you hear the gospel, it reminds you of something. Yes, it reminds you of something that you knew about before you were born. Let's take an example, John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist wasn't born. When the name Jesus was mentioned, he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And he had a revelation of the name of Jesus in his mother's womb. But John the Baptist couldn't hear. His ears wasn't fully developed. He was not cognitively developed. He was a baby in his mother's womb. But even in his mother's womb, he had a revelation of the Messiah. Now think about this. This is very important because we're talking about the transforming of the mind. In John's subconscious mind, because your subconscious in your soul, he had a revelation of his calling before he was born. That's right. And listen to this. Remember, there was a time John got thrown in the prison. Then he asked this question, is that the Messiah?
Yeah.
Why? Why did he ask that question? Because he allowed his reasoning to overtake his revelation. You see, because now he's beginning to reason, because he can smell, he can touch, he can feel, he can taste. He's feeling bad, he's locked up in prison, and now he's beginning to reason. But when he didn't have any of those senses, he had no doubt. Can you see where faith comes from? Faith is supernatural. When you have faith, you look past reasoning, you look past the senses, you look past the circumstances, you look past the conditions. Now, you see, that's what the power of transformation is. I was talking to a brother and I told him, you know, the interesting thing I was listening to is about, they say that God creates a situation to give you revelation. That's true. Let's put it to you this way. If you take a look at what happened to Abraham, Abraham had a situation. He needed a sacrifice. God provided a sacrifice in the time when he needed one, when there was no sacrifice. He calls the place Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. So what did God do in Abraham's situation? He revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh. So in the situation of Abraham, God gave him a revelation that he is the God that can make something out of nothing. Now, sometimes in your life, God has to put you in a situation so that he can give you a revelation. He's the God that can make something out of nothing. Isn't that so? Sometimes God has to put you in a situation of sickness so that he can reveal to you he's a God that's able to heal all your diseases. Doesn't matter which one it is. But he puts you in that situation so that he can reveal himself to you. And what is God revealing to you with all the times he's delivering you, like they say, the seven compound names of Jehovah? He's revealing his thoughts towards you. And like we said, God's thoughts is God's word. Now, if God's thoughts and God's word is the same thing, when you bring God's word into your situation, you're bringing God into your situation. That's right. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So when you bring God into a situation, the situation changes. When you bring God into any situation, there's going to be transformation. You see, when you bring God in a situation, there's going to be a restoration. You see, the power of God's word is quite simple. I'm going to give you a true testimony of the power of transformation, because I believe testimonies come by experience that's God-given. And every testimony you have must match the word of God so that it can see as a testimony of God. There was a friend of mine who came to me one day, and his situation was really bad because he was at 5 rehabilitation centers for drug addiction. His wife had left him and he was homeless. So he comes to me and he asks me, what does he need to do? He's going from rehabilitation center to rehabilitation center. Now the problem with the rehabilitation center is they conform you. That's right. What is conforming is to be similar, to be the same, to obey, to agree with something, to do what other people do, to behave in a way that is accepted by people. So all the rehabilitation center can do is can conform you to the program that they have. But he didn't need to be conformed. He needed to be transformed. I told him, look, brother, your problem is a spiritual problem. Now, the reason I'm speaking about this, because Unfortunately, where I am, we're living in a neurotic age. Yes. Young men and young women have a lot of mental problems.
Yes, sir.
You see? And here the Bible is telling you, let your mind be transformed. We go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. I just want to read it so it can hopefully help you. Ephesians, it says here, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Amen. That's what it's telling you. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, before I go ahead, I just want to complete this testimony. I told him, look, you got a spiritual problem. Since five rehabilitations didn't work, you need the power of God. He said, okay, I'm willing to come to church with you. I said, okay, yeah, church can help, but it's going to take more than just going to church.
Amen.
Because you must understand, this man's life's in dire straits. And this is the honest truth. He was sleeping on the field. He had no job. He had no money. And I said, okay, he came to me one night. We had a small Bible study. I opened the book of Job, and I said, look, if you see the scripture, I'm going to read this to you. I'm going to ask you one question. Do you believe this that I'm going to read can happen to you? Because the book of Job says, and I will restore.
Yeah.
Job chapter 2. All the palmer worm, all the canker worm, all the lotus, and all the caterpillar. God promises that he's going to restore all that's been taken away.
Amen.
And in that same part of the Bible, he says, and I will never make my people ashamed.
Yeah.
So I told him, look, brother, this is the word of the Lord, that if you have the right mental attitude towards this, your life's going to change.
Amen.
And I lifted in that. Reason why I lifted in that, because you get different seasons. You get a season of planting. You get a season of growth. You get a season of reaping.
Amen.
I left him. Came back. Found out one thing changed. Right? Said, okay, that's good. Find out another thing changed. Finally, I get people in the road. They say, what happened to Malik? I say, Malik, he's looking decent. I see, he's picking up. Why? Every time I would hear something changed.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I came again and I saw him at work. He came there with his wife and with his son. He wasn't with his wife and he wasn't with his son.
Yeah.
You see, this man from one, believing in one scripture, he never took drugs again. Completely delivered from crystal meth. He got a very good job as an engineer. His wife came back to him and he was with his son. He came to the surgery at work with his whole family together. This was a man. I'm going to tell you right now, that was what they call a cutthroat or a roughneck. What I mean is, this guy, he speaks gangster language. He's sitting in the places where they're selling every kind of drug. His friends carry long knives and guns and all kinds of things. This man got transformed by the power of the word of God in such a supernatural way that the people in the neighborhood couldn't understand what happened to this man. They couldn't understand what happened to him. Now, do you realize what privilege you have sitting here today?
Yeah.
If that man could be transformed by a mental attitude above one scripture, then what's available to you? Isn't it so?
Yeah.
And ask you a simple question this morning. All of you, you've got a desire as you hear. You came to this camp with a desire, right? If you got a piece of paper and a pen, write down what is your desire that you have at this camp that you would like to change about yourself. Anything about yourself. I'll give you time. Just write one thing that you would like to change about yourself. The Bible teaches us that God said he will bankrupt the heavens to prove his word.
Amen.
The reason I'm telling you this, because I believe in the power of God, and that which you write down and you take it unto the Lord. What you can also do is, if you got a close friend, whatever that is, someone you can trust, give that to your friend and you pray for your friend and your friend prays for you. You can't even do it at the camp now.
Amen.
Whatever you got here, you write it down that you desire.
Amen.
You know, God, this is my desire. This is what I desire from you. I want to come out of these 4 days knowing I've received something. Right? You write that desire down. Give it to a friend. Maybe I don't know who you're sharing in the room with. And you pray for your friend and your friend prays for you.
Amen.
You're going to see the hand of God moving. Now, I'm doing this. You see, I believe what Paul said. We're not coming here with the enticing words of men, but we're coming here with power and demonstration so that your faith can be in God.
Amen.
I'm going to go a bit further. Now, I want to say this. The information you feed yourself with is directly translated to your biology. Simplify that. Whatever information you take in, it's connected to your health system, your emotional well-being, everything. So any information you're going to feed yourself on is going to have an impact on your mental health, your spiritual health, and your natural health. I work in a doctor surgery. I spoke to a doctor one day. He said 90% of sickness come from stress. Stress comes from anxiety because you're worried about things you cannot control. The Bible said his eyes on the sparrow. That should be enough for you. If he feeds the sparrows, how much more can he not look after you? You got no control over tomorrow. But one thing you do have is you have a God who controls tomorrow. And you have a God who's got his future in your hands. So you ought to be able to trust him. If he could keep you today, that tomorrow he'll be able to keep you as well. You see, one thing I learned about being over here, the 2 years in Dublin, it was a season of transformation for me. Because when I came here, I had a bit of an attitude. I'm not going to lie. I lived in New York. I lived in London. I was with all kinds of people that they put me in a wrong mental state. You see? Because that's why you got to be careful who you hang around with, who you talk to, what you talk about, because words carry spirits. When you speak a word, remember you're revealing a thought. Thoughts are spiritual. And those, what do those spirits do? They hang around. They hang around. That's why you must cast them away. Paul said, cast down all reasoning. Cast down all reasoning. And you know what? When I came here, I had to make a decision to make a sacrifice. Okay. You know, I'm this guy at home, got all these friends, know all these things, but I'm not right with God. You see? Now, there's nothing and no relationship more important than your relationship with God. Amen. Your relationship with your mother and father is for a season. Yeah. With your brother and sisters for a season. With your friends is for a season. The relationship with God will meet you at the grave. You see, when you finish with everything else in this life, there's a God that waits you. He's waiting for you. So in this life, you have an opportunity to do something that can have an everlasting legacy. Amen. You know what happens to a lot of people is, if you take a look at how they live their life, it's like one minister said once, if you take a piece of string, you got this piece of life, right? You're growing up, going to primary school, creche, high school. The next section of life, you're going to your university, you're studying, you're working. The next section, you're going to retire, right? After that, you die. Now, your life may be 70 years. But you always ask yourself, I'll be on earth 70 years, but how many years am I not going to be on earth? People don't think about that. Let's be honest. Everything you're focusing on now is temporary. It's for tomorrow, next week, next month. But what about when you're not here anymore? You see what happens is, if you take somebody that died in the year 1870, right? That person lived 70 years, but how many years is he off the earth? You spend more time off the earth than you're on the earth. You see, that's why we're having this thing here, so we can transform your mind to prepare you for the time when you're not going to be on the earth anymore. See, that's why the scripture is not shallow. He's saying, let your mind be transformed for the place you're going to. Because you're going to a place that's eternal, where there will no longer be temporary things. You see, so God's trying to prepare your mind by the worship, by the songs, by the preaching, so your mindset can be ready for the eternal. You see, God is preparing you for something that's incorruptible while you're yet in a corruptible world. So we have to always lift you up higher. When you come to the house of God, you got to go to a higher dimension where you can feel the atmosphere that's incorruptible. An atmosphere which tells you that there's a place where there's no sickness, there's no dying, there's no trouble, there's no demons to bother you. So you come to the house of God and God drops down the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit starts to provoke something inside of you, starts to provoke something that's dormant in you, that you know what, this world's not my home. You know what, there's something better waiting for me. You know what, there's a place I'm going to. You see, you're not a Christian here with no purpose. You're here with a purpose, but you're not here with a temporary purpose. You're here with an eternal purpose. Because you're here with an eternal purpose, that means you have to receive something that comes from the realm of eternity. You see what I'm saying? So what you are here to receive power from an eye. You see, because what happens with what you got to face in this world, you cannot overcome it with the power of this world. You see, that's why you need a power from another world to bring this power of this world under subjection. That's why God sends you a Holy Spirit in your life so that He can bring the power of this world under subjection to the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, whatever you struggle with in this life, it comes from another world, right? All the habits. Now, let me tell you something about habits. We are all creatures of habit. And habits are formed by influence. Influence forms your habits. You will notice wherever you live, in every house, every household's got certain habits. And that habits come from the influence of the mother, of the father. Then you got the habits that come from the influence of the friends. So what God wants us is to get new habits. Habits that is going to transform you. Habits that is not going to be, you know, the habits that are going to make you weaker and bring you lower. Reason I'm saying this is because we live in a society where the only thing that builds you up is the gospel. Everything else breaks you down. You see what I'm saying? It's just going to go a bit further, if you can just allow me. You see, our reality is being shaped or programmed by those in control of our communication. That's the truth. You see, what happens is he who controls information and communication is going to form your state of mind. That's right. Because you are a product of what you've been taught. You are programmed by what you've been taught, but we've been taught God also has a program, and God's program is God's word. The school has a program in history, in maths, and that program is given to you so that you can live in this natural world and you know you can provide, but it's also a program of the supernatural. Now, this camp is a program of the supernatural. This is not a natural program. If this was a natural program, we'd be talking about natural things. But we're not talking about natural things. We're talking about the supernatural. We're talking about a power that is, that was, and is to come. You see what I'm trying to say? Because we're reminding you of what God has placed in you. We're reminding you of the power that God has placed within you as an individual. Amen. You know, the Bible says in the book of Daniel that in the last days, what's going to happen? The people of God, they're going to do exploits. And how are they going to do exploits? They're going to have power to do exploits. So that's why we here at the camp, so we can get power to do exploits. Because what you do on a camp is any camp you go to, whether it be a military camp, whether it be a soccer camp, whether it be a, you know, whatever sports, it's a camp to prepare you for what you're going to go do. Isn't that so? If you watch anything on the news, if it's a World Cup soccer or whatever, no, they're going to go to the training camp because they're preparing for, you know, the game and the tournament. So here you in a camp, and what are you preparing for? We battle not against flesh and blood, against powers, wickedness in high places. So you're you in a camp to prepare in a battle against darkness. You see what I'm saying? The moment you leave this camp, you're going to be afflicted. The moment this camp is over, everything's going to come at you. From your home, from your friends, from your school. Because why? God's prepared you. That's right. You see, God's purpose cannot be defeated. God said his word will not come back void, but it will accomplish its purpose. You understand? So when God gives his word to you, he's giving you armor, he's giving you weaponry to go out and to express what God has put in you. You see, God is putting something in you. He's building a character. Now, ask yourself, what if you take a look at what is a word made up of? A word is made up of characters. That's what they call it. And you take characters, and a character makes a word, and a word gives you a name. And what is a name? A name describes a life. So what is God building? He's building the character of Christ in you, by the life of Christ in you. He's trying to build a character of an overcomer. Because you got to remember, we are called to overcome this world. But you cannot overcome this world if you do not have the right kind of character. So that's why God wants your character to transform from what it is to what God has predestinated it to be. Now the thing is, it's not complicated. God allows things very, very simply. You know, a lot of time when people think about, you know, how can I change? How can I transform? Do you know how you transform? By the grace of God. Amen. And the strange thing about the grace of God, you don't work for. It's unmerited favor. Amen. Now, what the grace of God does is, the grace of God is a source for your faith. Amen. That's right. Because faith is a channel. The greatest battle ever won, they talked about the channel of faith. And grace is the resource which faith draws from. Your faith draws from the resource of grace. Grace came by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice that was given by grace so that you can draw strength from that grace. So you see what happens is the word grace itself means gift. Comes from Latin, gratias, grazie, gift. So God's given you a gift to save you. Christianity is the only faith where you are saved by a gift. That's right. Every other religion, I know because of our love with a lot of religions, what you do and what you don't do saves you. But God saves you by what he has done. So that's why God has prepared for you already a way before you needed one. You see what happens is people don't understand the gift of grace, because the Bible says where sin abound, grace abound more. Before the world was created, there was grace, right? The grace of God was there before the foundation of the world. So when you come into this world, God knows you're going to fall. He knows you're going to make mistakes. He knows you're going to fail Him. But you see, before the world was, there was grace. And when the world is finished, grace will still be there. Grace has no beginning. Grace has no ending. The love of God has no beginning. The love of God has no ending. You see, when God removes your sins from you, He says He removes it as far as the east is from the west. Isn't that so? And if you ask anybody, how far is east and west? Anybody that does geography, if you go to school, you get north, right? You get south if you look on the map. But if you look for east and west, you can't find it, because there's a north pole, there's a south pole, there's no east and west pole. East and west, basically, it runs in continuum. Continuum means eternity. So God has removed your sins eternally from you. It's difficult for you to understand as a young person, but God has removed your sins eternally. That means if He's removed it eternally, that He doesn't see it anymore. But right now you're in a process, right? You're in a process of transformation. And what you got to understand about this process is progressive. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to happen one step at a time, one day at a time, one week at a time, one victory at a time. You see what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to encourage you is to continue to persevere in the faith. Because it's by persevere. The Bible says in patience you possess your souls. So patience comes with perseverance. That's what you yearn for, so that you can learn to be patient and persevere in the faith that was delivered unto the saints. So go a bit further. If we interpret things in a positive way, we start living healthier, better quality lives, regardless of what genetic makeup we started with. Why is that important? Everybody has got a genetic makeup, right? And because of your genes, you will have what they call hereditary diseases. Hallelujah. High blood pressure, diabetes, and cholesterol. Then also, your genetics will come through your family tree is spirits. Right? Spirits. Stubbornness. This, that. Everybody will say, yeah, I can tell that's David's son. Why? Because there's a certain trait. No, that's George's son. There's a certain trait. You see, but God has called you to, as an individual, to walk with Him. Now, I'm not talking about the negative traits. What I'm trying to tell you is that God has called you to transform you in such a way that it's going to change your genealogy. That's right. Remember, if you take a look at the Bible, Paul was warning people, don't talk about genealogy. Why was he saying that? Because the life is in the blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ transforms. It removes all sin. So it doesn't matter where you come from, what nationality, what country, if you have the right attitude towards the word of God, your family will no longer have to have asthma, they will no longer have to have high blood pressure, they no longer need cholesterol, they don't need to have cancer even. That's true. And you that have anxiety and mental disease, the right attitude towards the word of God, you'll be delivered from it, because the word of God is going to give you a peace that passes all understanding. Anxiety is because you don't have peace. Because you don't have peace, you don't have rest. Because you can't rest, you get anxious, you fret. What does it do? It breaks down your white blood cells. Your white blood cells is what defends you against sickness. Now, when you have anxiety and nervousness, all that white blood cells is going to a place and they're getting used up. Now your body gets sick quicker. The joy of the Lord must be your strength. You must rest in the grace that God has given you. When you rest in God's grace, you're no more anxious, because you know the Lord will make a way for me. Isn't that so? When you rest in God's grace, you don't look at the opposition. You like David. God has to give you an experience where you first have to meet a bear. Because from that experience of the bear, when the lion comes, you're able to take on the lion. Because God's going to have to prepare you for a Goliath. And each and every one of us has to face a Goliath. And I'm going to let you know, when Goliath comes, your mommy's not going to be there. Your daddy's not going to be there. You must face Goliath. So if you're going to have to face Goliath, the sooner you start preparing, the better. So that's why you hear. You hear so your mind can transform, so you can understand, I've got to face Goliath. Isn't that so? Each and every one of you, God has called as an individual. You see why your genetics don't matter? Because He's washed you in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now your identity has changed. You're no longer a son and daughter of George or of Andrew. You are a son of God. Now, when you're a son of God, you have the genetics of God. You see, when you have God's genes, that means you have the Spirit of God. When you have God's Spirit, you have God's power. Because God promised He's going to raise a church in His power. Not in the power of the pastor, not in the power of the preacher, not in the power of evangelists, in the power of God. You see, the power of God is something that's completely different. It's something you have to experience to know. Because once you experience the power of God, you are never the same again. I would like to give a short testimony of one of the outreach we did. I spoke to some people about it. We went to a prison in South Africa, right? Now, it's a juvenile prison. And in this prison, what happens is they put you in jail for a season till you're old enough to go to the proper prison where you get either 25 to life, whatever it is. Now, these are people, they come from the worst areas in Cape Town, the worst gangsters you can possibly get. These are people that come for murder, for rape, for extortion, for robbery, for hijacking. And I'm going to be honest with you, their faces full of tattoos all over with the gang signs. The one guy, he had Satan written on his head with an upside down cross. I'm serious. So we have to go to this place, right? And we go there. And the first thing they come, the people are all shouting there from the prison window, all kinds of stuff. Yeah, we go in. So we came to the place and they start to shake. You know, that bars of the prison, they're shaking. And said, okay, fine, fair enough. So I said, no, we're going to go. We're not to be bothered. We're going by faith. Right, yes, we're going by faith. We came in there. It was, you know, talking to some of these juvenile delinquents and so on. And all I said is, okay, we're going to start playing some music now. The moment we started to play the music and sing songs, there was a change in atmosphere. Yeah. That's why you play music when you come to the house of God. You want to change in atmosphere. Right after a few songs. Yes, I'm telling you, this is a group of juvenile delinquents that rob, rape, steal. They got no order, no discipline. So I was convening the meeting. I went up and I said, okay, every one of you bow your heads in the respect of the name of the Lord. Everybody bowed their head without hesitation. Nobody's eyes was lifted up. I said, okay, we're going to pray now. And after that, we had someone come up to preach the word. And, you know, it was normal. But we forgot that the preaching of the word is not just normal. It's in power and demonstration. Yeah, yeah. When the sermon was over that my brother preached, about 90% of those juveniles came for prayer. Yeah. 90% of them came for prayer. Yeah. That's the truth. And you know what they did is, they were confessing everything they did that the judge and the lawyer couldn't get. I'm serious. You go to court, right? The judge, it's the lawyer, it's all this kind of stuff. They told us everything they did wrong. Yeah. That's the honest truth. This was 14 to 16 year olds, yeah. Then we had to go to the senior prison. This is now before you go to the hardcore prison. Right there, and they were, that's the guy where I met the guy with Satan written on his head and an upside down cross. And they weren't too pleased when we came there. They were okay, because you must remember, we're in a camp now with the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. That's very nice. You can come here. You can feel the presence of God. We come there to that room, west side till I die. That's playing, you know. West side, rap music. Now, you got to go preach in the atmosphere of rap music. I'm being honest. Oh, we come there, we're thinking, okay, fine, fair enough. We continued, and we, as the grace of God went ministering. I asked him to sing one song when we were finished. I said, let's sing the song, Only Believe. Right? As we were singing that song, there came a big young man. He was shirtless, you know, one of those muscular guys. He comes out, he's crying. I'm saying, what's happening now? Alright, we went to him and said, no, he wants to give his heart to Jesus. Amen. This other man who's got Satan written across his head, tears was coming out of his eyes. Amen. You see, that's why I'm talking about the transformation of the mind. Amen. One thing you see, I would just like to read if I can find it here. It's an interesting saying about how the oppressor works. If I can find it, if you can just give me 1 second, because as to drive home this particular point I'm speaking of, but if I can't find it, I'll just try and say it from memory. You see, this is what it is here. It says, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. My. Perfect example of that is, one day they took a monkey and they tied him to a chain, right? And they drew a line. And the monkey could only go this far. He couldn't go further because the chain held him back. And he did it and he did it. And then one day they took the chain off the monkey. And they wanted to see what he's going to do. He didn't go any further. Amen. Why not? That's exactly what I'm saying. The mind wasn't released. The mind wasn't set free. You see, he was free, but his mind was oppressed. The monkey was free, but his mind was in prison. You see, so we're coming to tell you, he who the Son has set free remains free indeed. Let the word of God set your mind free of your limitations. You say you got limitations this afternoon, right? You saying you got limitations. You're struggling to overcome this. You're struggling to overcome that. You're not struggling. You just need to raise your faith a bit higher. You see, the blood of Jesus has set you free. But now you have to accept the freedom that the blood of Jesus Christ gave you on the cross. You see, because he set you free, but you don't believe you're free. That's right. That's why you still struggle with things, because you believe that you're still struggling with them. But God has set you free. You must walk out of this camp knowing I'm delivered. You must walk out of this camp knowing I'm not the same person. You must walk out in this camp knowing I'm going out and I'm going to make a difference. You see, because we're not just coming here to keep a camp. We're coming here for the power of God's transformation. I just want to say this one last thing. I understand you. It's a second service reader. I will not keep you long. I'm just going to close with this. You see, there's a thing called a mind stamp. Now, what is a mind stamp? They call it entrainment. Your mind can interpret music. Your mind interprets words and so on. And then what happens is, it's called in marketing a patent. You know, when you stamp something, it belongs to it. So a mind stamp is something that what they would create in your mind, in your subconscious mind, that you will express consciously. So what happens is, they put some kind of a music or some kind of a frequency on you, then you react to that frequency and you express it, right? So what God has done is given you a divine impression. That divine impression is the word of God, right? He's put a divine impression. The Bible says he's written the laws in your heart. So he's put a mind stamp in you, because the mind and the heart is used interchangeably. So God has put a stamp on you, which is a mind stamp. That mind stamp is the word of God, right? And then what God sends you is the Holy Spirit to express that word that's been stamped inside of you. So what it does is, a divine impression creates a divine expression. Because what is a divine impression? It's the seed, which is the word of God. And the Holy Spirit comes to quicken that seed, so there can be a divine expression of the power of God. So what God has done now is, he's given you a divine impression, so that when you leave here, you can be a divine expression of what he has done for you. Now, there was this interesting thing about one day about two trees, right? It was a bamboo tree and a fern tree. I don't know if you heard it before. What happened is, the fern tree kept growing and kept growing. And this guy was asking certain questions. He's thinking, he's watering the bamboo seed. Not much is happening. The fern tree stays growing and growing. And he's asking God, but how does this work? Then when the bamboo tree started to grow, in 6 months it outgrew the fern tree. You see what I'm trying to say? Yeah. Then he began to realize, look, it's not about what he's seeing at this time. It's not about your temporary circumstances, you see? Because then he said, wait, but this bamboo tree is outgrowing this fern tree. And then eventually he said, wow, the bamboo tree outgrew the fern tree. You see what I'm trying to say? Because some plant, some water, God adds the increase. So don't look at what you are now. Because remember, what if you take a look at the most simple thing we spoke about, the palm worm, the caterpillar. When that caterpillar goes into a cocoon, it's transforming and nobody can see the transformation. It comes out a butterfly. The same when the word of God goes into your heart, it's a transformation taking place internally. They don't know what's going to be expressed later, but right now something's taking place on the inside. And that which is taking place on the inside, no individual knows except God. And I believe that God's purpose that is placed by putting his word in you can never be defeated. Why you say I'm so bold in saying so? Because I am a testimony of that power of transformation. You see, when I was in my lowest and in my worst condition, the word of God was predestinated in my soul. That's right. I didn't know the word of God is predestinated. I only knew by the preaching of the word. Amen. I never thought I could be what I am today. But there was something inside of me that was not be meant to be defeated. Something inside of me was not predestinated to go down. It's predestinated to go up. You see what happens is, so don't ever look at your temporary condition, because your temporary condition is going to lie to you. It's going to deceive you. It's going to tell you what you are not. You see, your eternal condition is, you can only find it in the Word of God. God's going to tell you what you are, where you're going, what you're going through right now, and where you're going to be. Isn't that so? Look, the Bible says a righteous, a just man, he falls several times, right? The wicked falls once, and it's over. Now ask yourself, if you're righteous, you're trying to serve God, who falls more? Which one is going to fall more? The just man or the wicked man? The just man is going to fall more. But the difference between the just and the wicked is, there's a power that can raise the just man up. The wicked has no power to raise him up. You see, you got a power to raise you up. Even if you're backslidden, whatever is going on, there's a power that's predestinated to raise you up. You see, God said, all that the Father has given me, I will lose none. And God don't see you the way I see you. He doesn't see you the way the pastor sees you. God sees you spotless. God sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ is our righteousness. And he says, because that blood is our righteousness, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You see what I'm saying? Because God is trying to equip us for the battle out there. But God has said, no weapon formed against you will prosper. But he's given you weapons that will prosper. Isn't that so? He's given you the armor of God that you can use in your day-to-day battle. And he's also given a promise to you that none of the enemy's weapons will prosper against you. So don't think of yourself in a negative light as a young woman. Don't think, you know, I dress, you know, they don't think much of me. It doesn't matter what they think of you. What matters is what God thinks of you. You see? Because what God thinks of you is eternal. When they forget about you, God remembers you. When you're suffering, God is there for you. When you got nobody to talk to, God's there to speak to you. God's here to remind you of your value. You see, your value is worth 10,000 worlds. Now the world might value you just for what money you have, for what you look like, and all these other things. God values you eternally. Whether you have or you don't have, he loves you the same. Whether you rise or you fall, he loves you the same. You see, that's what God is coming to remind you today, that he's an unchanging God. The love he loves you with first will never change towards you. What he's asking of you is very simple. Hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Hear the voice of God speaking to you today. If God spoke to you today and you feel, brother, I would like to make a change, today is the day. Harden not your heart. So as we close this service, I would just like to know if we can sing a song. And then I just would like you to think about that which has been spoken today. We have an evening service, which I believe is going to be a double portion of a blessing. Because God gives the blessings that are rich and added no sorrow. Can you sing that song? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. If you have any guilt today, that guilt can be removed forever. Doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, the blood of Jesus is here to make you a new creature. Let me sing this song.
There is a fountain fair.
Can all raise your feet? But all your sins are washed away.
So fine as I was told. My sins away. For so sure.
dying land.
The dying land.
Thy precious blood shall never lose till all the ransom.
For a moment of prayer. Gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this week, for this day that you've granted unto us, Lord, that we can come to a place of refreshing, Lord. We can come to a place of revival, Lord. Lord, that we can forget about all our troubles and all our cares, Lord, and we can come, Lord, to the blessed rock of ages, Lord. Lord, for the song says, hiding in thee, my Savior. And that's our place of refuge. It's our place of strength, Lord, and it's our absolute, Lord. And I would like to ask, Heavenly Father God, for your blessing on this audience, Lord, for each and everyone that listen, Lord, that, Lord, they might walk out here, Lord, with you being their portion, like you were to your, our father Abraham, Lord. When you told Abraham, you will be his portion and his exceeding great reward. May it be so with each and everyone this afternoon, Lord. I'd like to pray for this evening service, Lord, that as we are in under anticipation, Lord, that you will come now and speak to us again, Lord. Lord, that you will speak to us, that you will lift us, encourage us, cleanse us, Lord, and prepare us, Lord, for what lays ahead, Lord. I want to say thank you for everything, Lord, that you've done for us this morning. This morning's meeting, a blessing it was, my precious brother Wilmer, Lord. So pray now, Lord, for whatever has been prepared for the rest of the day, Lord, that you will undertake and you will guide, Lord. And we, Lord, and we will not forget to give you all the thanks, all the honor and the praise, for you are worthy of it. We ask these things in Jesus' name with much thanksgiving. Amen. 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 Standing up forward.
Things were taking place. That was powerful, friends. That was so powerful. You know, like I said, it's not just somebody's voice or the words they say, but it's the power of God that backs up that voice. Paul says, there's many who have tasted of the power of the world to come. As the Lord laid his hand on our brother there, you could taste the power of the world to come. But Paul says, many have tasted of the world to come and still fall away, because they never allowed that power to come into the right place to transform them. Now you'll feel and you'll say, this is different than I ever felt. You know, as a young person, you might come from the world, you've never been in a meeting like this. And you feel and you say, there's something here. There's something real. There's something pure. There's something powerful. You know, and then you need to harness that power. You need to yield yourself to that power. You need now to say, Lord, your power is here present. The Bible says in the days of Jesus, his power was present to heal. Now there's times when the Lord's power is present to do something for you and you need to plunge in. Now you need to really say, Lord, please, this power is not going to be there when I get back out there in my neighborhood. This power is not going to be there when I get back out to school or whatever that it is. So let me take advantage of your presence and of your power of transformation while I'm here now. Because like our brother said, today is the day of salvation. Now that power may not be available to you tomorrow. If I don't allow the power of God to transform us now, like our brother said, to equip us for the battles that are to come, when you get out there, we're going to say we are people most miserable because we had the opportunity. There was the Lord by his grace wanting to clothe us in his power, but we never fully submitted that heart. So let's not allow that to happen to us, friends. I just really wish Brother Chesson had gone on a little bit longer, because that was very sweet to the soul. And it was very powerful. And you can see the Lord was dealing with the souls of people. No, the Lord was casting darkness out and pushing away the unbelief and pushing away, you know, those clouds that sit upon people. And people start seeing things the way that they really are. Yeah, and one other thing just before we close. I really saw when the hand of the Lord came upon our brother, it was an answer to the prayers which we've been praying for. You know, I really saw that. I said, Lord, now you are really answering the prayers of parents, and you're answering the prayers that we prayed on Friday and when the saints prayed at the all-night prayer. You know, you really see the Lord is faithful. When you ask the Lord, please, Lord, visit the souls of our young people. The Lord will visit the souls of our young people. But I'm really persuading you, young people, to respond in the day of your visitation. The Bible says, do not receive the grace of God in vain. Imagine how many times Judas was in the meetings and felt the power of God. When Jesus healed the sick and when the demoniacs were healed and so forth. But he never ever took heed. He never yielded himself to that power while it was available to transform him, to take away his greed and his wickedness and his malice and whatever that it was. Don't let the season pass you by, friends. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Now, I really pray that the Lord will just continue on. Thank you so much, Brother Cheslin. That was a great, great blessing. Now, Brother Cheslin says a lot of things. Each of those things he said, he could stop and he could take 15 minutes on it. It's like a seed he's sowing, and there's a lot of power in that seed. And then at the end, when he really got on to just getting the word to the soul, friends, the word of God is a powerful thing. And I'm so glad I've been transformed. Are you not glad you have been transformed? I'm glad that power of God transformed my life from what I was to what I'm still not what I ought to be. But friends, I'm not what I used to be. You know, Satan doesn't have opportunity with me much anymore. Jesus says he has, the prince of this world comes, but he has nothing in me. Now, me and him, we're not friends. We broke up our love relationship many years back. I like Keith Green sings the song, the Dear John Letter to the Devil. You know, when somebody writes you, Dear John, I don't love you anymore. You know, a long time ago, we wrote our Dear John Letter to the Devil. We renounced the hidden works of the deeds of darkness. Yeah, and we reprove them these days. Let's sing that song. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Who here is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? If you haven't been redeemed, now is your opportunity. Just yield yourself to the Lord. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it.
Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, there is happy. Oh, I am redeemed. I am redeemed. I am redeemed by the blood of the. Oh, I am redeemed. Redeemed. Oh, it's died and forever I am redeemed. I'm so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. Oh, I know that the light of His presence with me does continually dwell. Oh, I am redeemed. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, redeemed, redeemed. His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all that belong. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, it died and forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty. Oh, the King, it was all I delight, who lovingly guided my, and He giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, I am redeemed. Oh, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I'm redeemed. I am redeemed. It's died and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Oh, oh, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. died and forever I am.
Let's bow our heads there. We'd ask Brother George to pray for us. But just before Brother George prays for us, I'd like to give you an opportunity that if the Lord is dealing with your heart, while every eye is closed, every head is bowed, just to raise your hand to the Lord. Just say, Lord, you're dealing with me now, Lord. Lord, I want to just surrender myself to you. Lord, you've come to transform me. Lord, I don't like the way that I've been. I don't like the way my thoughts have been. I don't like the direction my life has been going. Lord, there's a darkness that's been coming in. Lord, my thoughts have troubled me. Lord, you know, even the dreams that I have at night. Lord, you know, sometimes the feelings that I feel and the temptations that would pull me to things that I know that are wrong. And Lord, you know that I cannot change myself, but Lord, I feel there's a power that's present in this place that can transform me. I know there's something here now that can change me. Lord, I know that it's your presence. I know it's the power of the blood of Jesus that's in this place to transform me. Lord, I want you to transform me. I want to raise your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, you might have had a long-standing problem and the Lord's brought you apart for a few days so that you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you don't have to be like Johnny Crow anymore. You know, to say that I'm still chained when the birds are flying over and others are free and they're saying, Johnny Crow, join us, let's fly south for the winter. And though the chain's been taken off, but because in your mind you still feel that you're chained, despite the fact that Jesus set you free. There's something in your life that you haven't been freed from and you're saying, Lord, transform me by the renewing of my mind. Let me see the situation the way that you see the situation. Oh, and may the Lord deliver us from whatever it is that we need to be delivered. We just ask Brother George to pray for us.
Father, we thank you so much for this word ministered, Lord. Father, Lord, in the presence of your grace, all we can say is, woe is me. Lord, I'm a man undone. Lord, Father, we can't use the excuse that we dwell amidst an unclean people. Father, Lord, we just pray, Lord, you'd help us. Father, we've come far out here, high on this mountain, O God. Father, to try get closer to thee, O God. Father, Lord, from last night, Lord, you showed us the preparations of our heart. Lord, how we should get ourselves in line with thee, O God. And Lord, set our lives in line, Lord. First thing in the morning to seek thee, to come here and create that atmosphere, O God. And Lord, you came, Father, with Brother Will's message again, Lord. And you gave us, Lord, Father, this one of investments, O God. Father, Lord Jesus, these things that we do, as our brother Cheslin was saying, Lord, the preparation for that life beyond this life, Lord. Father, to think, O God, we can think of the people that will die even in this day. There's more people that will die that are unrighteous than the people that are righteous. Because you said in your word, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to righteousness, O God. And we are so worthy, Lord, to be counted, Lord, Father, amidst that narrow path this morning. That though we all be here, Lord, Father, not all of us, Lord, Father, as the prophet says, is there still the three kinds. But Lord, I want to be that one that makes it, O God. Father, Lord, if there's one going, Lord, Lord, I am going to make it, O God. Father, I pray your grace, Lord, whilst you pass by, whilst you minister unto us, Lord, Father, via these ministries, Lord, Father, help us, Lord, that we'd be so wise, Lord. This is not only for the youth, Lord. This is personally for me, O God. Lord, I've written down my desire, Lord. Lord, I've put it down, Lord, Father. You know the thing that I desire. Lord, Father, give us grace that we'd see your glory over these next few services, O God. This presence that is here with us, O God. Lord, just fill this place with the glory of God. That when we come back, Lord, let us not come late, Lord, but let us come long before the service starts, O God. And we'd sit in here, Lord, and Lord, Father, we'd all generate that atmosphere, Lord, that will bring down the Shekinah glory, Lord. That when the minister would speak, Father, he'd speak the things only I know that I speak in my bed chamber, O God. Lord, he'd speak the oracles of God, those secret things, O God, that I, Lord, Father, O God, Lord, desire for you, Lord Savior, to speak to me personally, Lord Father. Lord, there's our children. We want, Lord Father, you to work with them, Lord. You to move them, O God. Lord, let
every service count, every fellowship count, oh God, that, Lord, you'd be glorified, you'd be lifted above all. Bless our brother Cheslin again. What a word he spoke, Lord Father. Oh, what wise words, what wise counsels, Lord. Father, placing us on that path of life, Lord Savior. Restore virtue unto him, Lord Savior God. Restore strength unto him, Lord, that the time that he's here, Lord Savior, when he'd open his mouth, he'd only open his mouth regarding the oracles of heaven, oh God. Father, bless us now. Give us your grace. Oh, bless our provision and bless our activities. Bless all that we would do, Lord. For all we want, Lord Father, is more and more of Jesus. Oh, and less of me, oh God. Lord, we ask your grace today. We ask your mercy, Lord Savior. Lord, if there's a brother or a sister that is in the valley of decision, Lord, they're not fully here, oh God. Break that cycle, oh God. Break that habit, Lord Savior God. Break whatever, Lord, the bound, Lord Father, that would hold them back, Lord, that they, Lord Savior, would reach higher into, Lord Savior, that dimension, Lord Savior. They may be transformed, Lord Savior, or into images of Christ, oh God. Lord Father, that when the world would see us, when we come from here, oh, they would see none but Jesus dwelling within us, oh God. Father, we are grateful, Lord Savior, for your presence, Lord, that is with us, Lord Savior. For Lord, it's just with, Lord Savior, more than anyone could ask, oh God. Give us your grace, Lord. Bless from our pastor, his desire for us all, his desire for our children, his desire, Lord Savior, that Lord Father, oh God, oh these young ones, Lord Savior, they will run with this message, Lord. They will run with this message of Malachi 4:5, Lord Savior God. They would have, Lord Savior, that experience, Lord Savior. Oh, from that time experience, Lord Savior, that their lives, Lord Savior, would only shine. Oh God, that this gospel can continue on, Lord Savior. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you most of all for your presence that is here, Lord. Give us now thy mercy, Lord, as we part. Lord, let us not part from thee, Lord Savior. But Lord, when I speak to my brother or my sister, Lord, let the I am dominate the conversations, Lord. Oh, let the I am, Lord Savior, be in our rooms, Lord Savior God. Let the I am keep us away from, Lord Savior, that carnal, Lord Savior, dimension. Oh, Father, that dimension where all these devices take us, Lord, to dark portals, oh God. We want to stay away from those places, oh God, and stay in line with thine word. We ask your grace now. Be with us, keep us again, we pray. Oh, Father, for your glory and grace, we thank you. Amen.
Do we have that song on there? More and more and more of Jesus, less and less of me. Do we have it? Well, I mean, the words are simple. More and more of Jesus, less and less of me. So
yeah.
Brother George, you can maybe help with it. You know the song, yeah? Yeah.
When more of Jesus, less and less of me. Less and less of me, more and more and more and more of Jesus, more and more and more and more of Jesus, less and less of me, less and less of me.
Let's all sing it, saints.
More and more and more and more of Jesus. More and more and more and more of Jesus. Less and less of me.
Oh,
less and less of me.
Decide. Is Brother Wilmore there? Any announcements for the afternoon? Brother Wilmore, if he's there. I know he's working as well today. So, Saints, I think the activity is at 2:30. So from lunchtime, we'll announce and say exactly where we need to meet and what we need to do. And just one final thing, Saints. You young people, pace yourselves this week. Don't tire yourself out the first day. It's so very easy to do. You see, guys use all of their energy and then tomorrow morning you're going to be so tired. Friends, this isn't a sprint. This is a bit of a marathon this week. So you need to really pace yourself. Make sure you get enough rest. Make sure you just take it easy a little bit, because we've got today to finish and we've got Wednesday to run and we've got Thursday to run and we're finishing on Friday. So let's really use this time. Let's redeem the time, because the days are evil. So God bless you, saints. Wonderful time. May the Lord bless our lunch as well. Let's dismiss with whatever the brothers are.
You have chosen the narrow path. It's the hardest way. Oh my, hallelujah. There's a great portion of heaven. It's waiting for you. Oh my, because of what you've decided. That was the prophecy. That was the prophecy. Oh, the angel told, he told it to the greatest Savior. Hallelujah. Oh my, and that will grow. That is what will grow. That great victory. Oh, in the love divine. Oh, I will work this path. I will work this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. God has many trials, friends. His God has many and many battles against the enemy. Oh my, Lord is holy, will lead us. There's not much time remaining, man. There is not much time remaining. Not much time to walk in this path. We can already hear the tyrant of our loved ones. Let's take it softly.